Onward Christian Soldiers. And for those that are some Little House on the Prairie people like we are and our family, my daughter Ashley has all 10 seasons, and now she's working on Blu-ray. But if anybody knows about Little House, I always appreciate that song, because if you know anything about Little House, the last actual episode of the show, some rich guy kind of buys the town from underneath them, and so they said, well, you're not going to get our town. You might get the land, but you're not going to get our town. And they all blew up all of their buildings and their homes and everything. They blew everything in shambles, and they marched out of the town singing Onward Christian Soldiers. So I always appreciate hearing that song, because it always makes me think about that episode, which is pretty neat. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, we are going to continue in our series called Putting on the Whole Armor of God. And the title of my sermon this morning is, It's Time to Put on the Armor. It's time to put on the armor. And knowing that today was Father's Day, I was praying about if I should continue the series on the armor of God or maybe take a break. But the Lord kind of brought something to my mind, that not only do all believers need to put on the whole armor of God, but I don't think there's any better place to start or maybe create this emphasis than with fathers. You know, my senior year in basketball, my coach pulled me aside. And it's nice I don't have to worry about the camera. So this is great. I can go as fast as I want. My coach pulled me aside, and he said, Rich, this team is only going to go as far as you take it. Now, he wasn't saying, Rich, I expect you to score 60 points and carry the team. What he was trying to do was activate leadership in me. He wanted me to be a leader of that team on the court. Well, that same principle applies to fathers today. You know, we are to be the spiritual leaders in our home. And not only are fathers to put on the whole armor of God ourselves, but we are also supposed to help equip our children and teach our children and help our children and our wives and our families be able to put on the whole armor of God. Now, last week we talked about the power of knowledge, and that it's the gaining of facts, information, and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. And we talked about that specifically, it's the knowledge that we get from the Word of God about our adversary, the devil. And I love it when God confirms things in our lives, whether it's a special that's perfect for a sermon that the Lord has put on our heart as preachers, or some other little sign that kind of really shows us or kind of maybe gives us a little bit of confidence that we're preaching about something that we know the Lord really wanted us to preach on. And it was interesting, the Lord put on my heart several weeks ago to preach on a series about the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And yesterday, we're 5 months now into our men's prayer breakfast. And we have been going through the Kendrick brothers, the creators of War Room, the battle plan for prayer. And we're 5 months into this study now. And ironically enough, yesterday when we met, where our topic was spiritual warfare. And out of the same text that I'll be preaching out this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. I don't think there's any coincidence that what we're going through during the next several weeks as I continue on this sermon, God ordained it because He wants us to know the reality of spiritual warfare. And so I appreciated that when we started going through that, I thought, there, that is not a coincidence. God wants Grace Bible Church to recognize spiritual warfare. So Paul begins this letter with a focus on Christian unity, because these converted Jews were trying to separate themselves from these Gentile believers. But what he wants them to embrace is the reality or the power of Christian unity versus a relentless enemy. versus a relentless enemy. And he's explaining the vitality of unity in the body of Christ. It's vital that we are unified as a body of believers, because Satan is as a roaring lion, walketh around seeking who he may devour. And we need to come together as a body of believers to encourage each other and pray for each other and edify each other in the Lord. As Paul encourages these Christian unity, he's advising of the looming spiritual warfare that's all around them. And a sold out believer of Jesus Christ will not only have to endure spiritual warfare, but have to get victory over it. Have to overcome it in our lives. One of the main strategies by the devil is deception. And not only did he utilize deception in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, he's obviously utilized it in Paul's day, but he's also utilizing it today in 2019. So Paul addresses some important rules to Christianity in Galatians chapter 6. So if you could turn back there with me, if you are able. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself," underline that in your Bibles, "considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Let's stop for a moment and pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the guidance that we get from not only your word, but your Holy Spirit in our lives. And I pray that you will help us embrace the truth and the reality that we have spiritual warfare all around us, every part of our lives, every day, every minute. We have spiritual warfare. We have an enemy who's trying to do whatever he can to destroy our lives and destroy our testimony and destroy our families and destroy our marriages and our relationships, not only with brothers and sisters in Christ, but with you, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you will have your hand upon us this morning. I pray that you be glorified by everything that is said behind this pulpit today. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul's talking about the importance of replacing pride with humility. That no one should be exempt from needing help, and no one should be exempt from providing help. Think about how many times in your life where pride kept you from asking for help. Maybe think about a time in your life where maybe pride kept you from giving help. You know, if we think we are too highly of ourselves, we deceive ourselves according to the Word of God. But I don't think it's just we're deceiving ourselves, but I believe we're allowing the enemy to deceive us as well. Getting us to feel puffed up about ourselves or prideful about ourselves, that we're something when we're nothing without God. We should be giving God the glory for the great things that he hath done. You know, you look at the word rule, and like many words in the English language, has a couple different definitions. One is a set of explicit or understood regulations or principles governing conduct within a particular activity or sphere, but then also the exercise of ultimate power or authority over. Well, we have the rule of the Word of God, which is just that, the rule of our lives. We have the Word of God that would help us in our regulating our principles and conduct in our lives, but then also it is the ultimate authority over our lives. We have the Word of God as the rule over our lives. Now, the devil is trying to do a lot of different things. He's trying to deceive the lost, and he's trying to deceive believers that Christianity has a bunch of rules and regulations and there's no real enjoyment in Christianity. I can tell you this also about our adversary, our enemy. He's the EOA. And you're like, what's that, Pastor Rich? He's equal opportunity attacker. He attacks the young. How high is teenage suicide today? Higher than probably any other time in our history. He's attacking the old. He's attacking the white, the black. He doesn't care what nationality it is, what country. He's attacking males and females. He's attacking everyone. And that's a pleasure. That's the blessing about the gospel of Jesus Christ and why the gospel transfers down the higher world, because Satan is attacking the entire world. He's attacking everyone. He's attacking Grace Bible Church. He's attacking the believers at Grace Bible Church. I'm not saying that people are running around in these terrible sins, but regardless, if you are living a sold out life for Jesus Christ, plan on spiritual warfare. Plan on attacks from the enemy. Plan on it. Count on it. It's coming. If it's not already happening right now. He's trying to deceive the lost and keeping them from a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But then he's also trying to deceive the believers and trying to keep them in bondage of sin. And again, we talked about our lesson here yesterday, the battle plan for prayer. And something they talked about, some ways that Satan tries to attack, is first to distract, and then deceive, and then divide. You know, divide and conquer. It's a principle that military has been using throughout time. Divide and conquer, because we're weaker when we're split. But when you think about distracting, well, that's taking our eyes off of what we need to, taking our eyes off the Word of God, taking our eyes off of the Lord, and then deception and trying to lead us away from where we should be, and then dividing, separating us from believers, separating us from the Word of God, separating us from a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So you can see a strategy. I mean, strategy is vital. I mean, what we just recently celebrated Memorial Day, and those that died for the freedoms that we get to enjoy today, died for our country, serving our country. Well, I'm sure that every single battle had a plan and a strategy about their enemy, what they were going to deal with, what they were going to have to get through, what they were going to have to conquer. Every plan has to have a strategy. And Satan has one as well. And I wanted to read this. We read through this little excerpt yesterday, because I really want us to embrace the truth. Because I think a lot of times we have this warped idea about Satan. And he's this comical character with horns and a tail and a pitchfork. And that's not reality. We have a real enemy. Our culture has made the devil a comical costume figure, but he is not an adversary that should be ignored or underestimated. Satan is called the ruler of this world. He is described as exercising authority over the lower heavens, working in the lives of the disobedient. Unbelievers are characterized as being held in the domain of darkness by the power of Satan, as he blinds their eyes so they cannot see the light of the gospel. He is a deceiver of the whole world as it is currently under his sway. Satan uses windows of opportunity to steal, to kill, to destroy. He approaches God in order to make accusations against us. His original temptation caused Adam and Eve to doubt God's word. He is bold enough to afflict Job, a righteous Job, asked to sift Peter, torment Paul, and tempt Jesus himself. We have an adversary, and we should not, as they mentioned, take him lightly. But we need to embrace the truth that he is trying to destroy our lives. And fathers today, he's going after our children. Grandfathers today, he's going after our grandchildren. He is trying to show them or deceive them that there is freedom in rebellion. Rebellion against parents and grandparents. Maybe rebellion against God-placed authorities in their life. Rebellion against the Lord. Oh, there's freedom in that. There's rules and regulations with Christianity. You don't want that. You want the freedom of rebellion. He is painting a picture that there is no freedom or pleasure in Christianity while he's weaving a web of deception and bondage to sin. But I can tell you this, there is pleasure in Christianity. Come to Grace Bible Church Old Fashioned Sunday. And all the hallelujah was going on there and praising the Lord and the preaching of God's word by Dr. Dave Arnold. There is pleasure in Christianity. There is freedom. But he is trying to deceive the many brethren that maybe are disobedient, maybe they're not living the way they should be, and trying to confuse them to think that there is bondage or restrictions to Christianity and keeping them in bondage to sin. When in fact, the knowledge that we get from salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and from the guidance we get from His Word and His Holy Spirit actually gives us freedom from the bondage of sin. Turn to John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 28. John chapter 8, verse 28. And then Jesus said unto them, when we have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He. And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father which hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. And then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant, or in bondage, slavery to sin, of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Free indeed. The truth and guidance we get from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ actually gives us freedom from the bondage of sin. And I'm sure many here could probably sit and think about family members or friends that you know are in bondage or slavery to sin. And that's one of the main deceptions of the enemy, that there's rules and regulations with Christianity. God wants us to feel entrapped in these rules and regulations, but oh, there's freedom in sin. And then how many do you see totally in bondage and slavery to sin in their lives, and they can't break it away if they tried in their own ability without Jesus Christ? You know, fathers, we need to embrace the truth that we need to not only put on the whole armor of God ourselves, but we also need to help our children, because He's going after our children and He's trying to put the bondage of sin upon our children, upon our grandchildren. We have to embrace that truth this morning. You know, the urgency that Paul's expressing here is that in Christian unity, the purpose is because we are battling spiritual warfare. We need to encourage each other. We're needed to encourage each other and edify each other and remember that there is strength in numbers. I know this is a long intro, but trust me, I'll go fast on my points. You're watching the clock. But in Ephesus, there was the great temple of Diana. It was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and it stood for all that was pagan and heathen and immoral. And so the purpose of this address here is to tell the people, the church of Ephesus, that it's time to embrace the fact that you have an enemy. You have someone that you are going to have to deal with. It's not going to go away. You have to deal with your enemy. How many believers and for how long have been trying to battle a deceptive and relentless enemy without the armor of God? Or maybe utilizing some of it or part of the armor and not putting on the whole armor of God. And Paul is pleading that these born-again believers put on the whole armor of God. So first, Paul instructs to be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. If you want to turn back to our text. If you went with me to John. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the," what? "Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our strength comes from the Lord. Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Too often we try to take on the enemy or do things in our own strength and not draw from the strength that we can get from the Lord. Fathers, our wives, our children need to see our faith in the Lord and that our strength comes from God. It's not how much we can bench press. It's not how much we can squat. It's not how hard we work in the field. It's not how strong we are. That our strength, our faith comes from God. That's what our children need to see. That's what our families need to see. You know, this chapter progresses with Paul instructing first children and then parents. And then as we looked at a couple weeks ago, servants and masters, but then he switches gears to Christian soldiers. It's been said that a soldier, their training does not start in boot camp. It starts in the home. No, I'm not saying that we should go run around and call our kids maggots, as Dr. Arnold so eloquently pointed out. I could try that. Do you think it'll work? Calling the boys maggots? They're used to already out. So. We should be showing them how to put on the whole armor of God. I found this to be quite interesting, but I wanted to share. In World War II, they had a saying in the Navy that in the early days of our nation, we had wooden ships and iron men. But now we have iron ships and paper doll men. That is probably not entirely accurate, but a report from the Great Lakes Naval Training Station tells us that a shocking percentage of all young men in the United States attending the age of Navy enlist years must be rejected because a previous criminal record, because of personality, psychological, and health problems. Also, an alarming number of all enlistees fail to measure up to recruit training. Severe problems are faced in the training of young men who must be trained in the simple things that should have been learned at home. At 17, a young man ought to be ready to launch into the training program. The Navy finds that they can easily put a uniform on the man. It is putting a man into the uniform that is causing such problems. Well, the same report also mentions that foreign mission boards are having the same problem. They're having the same issue with those that are choosing to try to go on the mission field. having the same issue, that it's not being established at home. And in this report, it also mentions that too many parents are leaving the training to the Sunday school teacher, to the youth pastor, to the assistant pastor, to the senior pastor, to the church, instead of taking the responsibility that should be placed on the parents at home. It's the parents' responsibility. And fathers, sorry, we're going to do a toe stepper. It starts with us. It starts with us. We have a powerful enemy, Lucifer, the bright shining one, Satan, the accuser, an anointed cherub and a falling angel, and he is a powerful and dominant power, and he also is not by himself, according to verse 12. And we cannot defeat him on our own strength and our own power. You know, Paul instructs believers of this truth in verse 11. It says, finally, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whole armor in the Greek is a panoplion, which means complete or full armor. We must utilize all the equipment that we have available that is given to us by the Lord to stand against. The word wiles there is methodias. Methodias, which we get the English word methods. But also schemes, plots, things that he tries to do. You know, believers, we must put on the whole armor of God. We can't try to combat the schemes and methods of the devil in our own strength and with not putting on the whole armor. And Paul's letter to Ephesus here is saying, be aware of Satan's infiltrating of these pagan and heathen ideas and rituals, because it's something that you're going to have to deal with if you don't choose to put on the whole armor of God. It's going to ramroad your family. It's going to ramroad your children. And you have to realize and embrace that there's an enemy. And we're going to have to deal with it. He gives us another warning in verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not. The word wrestle in the Greek is pale. Pale, which means to wrestle, to fight, to struggle, to contest with. So we got all these things that we're going to have to do. We contest, we wrestle, we struggle not against flesh and blood. Or principalities also means authorities. Powers, cosmokratos is cosmic powers or spiritual forces. In other words, we don't have a physical enemy. We have a spiritual enemy who's using spiritual wickedness. And we have to use a spiritual power that we get from the Lord. It's not, we can't do it ourselves. We can't take on spiritual forces in our own flesh. We have to go to God. It's power that we can only get from the Lord. In the Christian life, we battle against powerful forces of fallen angels headed by Satan. And to withstand them, we have to put on the full, the complete, the entire armor of God. Second, we need to strap on the whole armor. Strap on the whole armor, verses 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the attacks or the schemes or the methods of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you again the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The soldier needs the complete armor. Again, panoplion means full, complete. We need to put on all the armor of God that we'd be able to stand against the evil day. The soldier needs all of their equipment to have any type of chance of survival. If they start going into battle without certain things that they need, whether it's a helmet or a shield or a sword, their chances of survival diminish. We have to put on the whole armor of God. Now we're going to go through the specific items or equipment of the soldier here in the next week or two, but we're going to briefly look through first the belt of truth. The belt of truth is truth that we know from the Word of God. We just read in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's a truth that we get from the Word of God. And then the breastplate of righteousness is walking rightly according to the Word of God. purity of heart and life. You know, our righteousness is as filthy rags in our own flesh, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And only through Jesus Christ do we have righteousness. Feet prepared with the gospel of peace, and that's Christ as the foundation of our life. The foundation in which we stand on, as everything else just washes away, we need to have our foundation stand firmly on Jesus Christ, especially during times of trial and tribulation and difficulties of life. The shield of faith is trusting the Lord and His promises and faith that we should have in His Word and in the guidance that we get from the Holy Spirit and from Him. The helmet of salvation, which of course is accepting and trusting Jesus Christ as for salvation, but also for the forgiveness of sin. The sword of the Spirit, and that strength gained from the Word of God and His Holy Spirit as an offensive weapon against the enemy. We better be utilizing this as an offensive weapon. You know, we can sit back a lot of times on defense and, oh, Satan, don't get me, don't hit, no. No, give it back to him with the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Give Him back the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to fight Him off. What did Jesus do when He was tempted? He gave Him the Word of God. And that's what we need to do. After looking at the soldier's equipment, we can see why we need the full, all of the armor of God to withstand the strategies, the methods, the scheming of the devil. Third, stand against the evil of our day. The evil of our day. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench, to ward off, to defend against the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, petition in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, the soldier needs to embrace the fact that it's time to take a stand. You think about that soldier when before they go into battle. I'm sure there's fear and anxiety, and they're wondering if today's going to be their day where their time on earth is going to be over. But then once they realize they're in the battle, that light switch turns. And they're ready to go at the enemy. There's a saying. Stand for something. Probably some of you could probably finish it. Or you'll fall for anything. It's time that believers stop burying their heads in the sand, hoping that when it comes out, the world's all going to be better. Denial will never accomplish anything. You think about that alcoholic. Until that alcoholic acknowledges and embraces their addiction, they'll never get victory over it. Denial will never accomplish anything. And fathers, grandfathers, it's time that we put on the whole armor of God, because we need to snatch our children, our grandchildren, from the world, from the lies of Satan, which is telling them, you're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not beautiful enough. And you're the wrong gender. God made a mistake. It's time. The only way things are going to get better is if we make them better. Putting on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 18. Praying. How often? Always. With all prayer and supplication. That's petition. Making that petition to God in the Spirit. And watching thereunto. page flipped. With all perseverance and supplication, who? For who? For all saints. You know, there's all kinds of prayers. We've been going through our men's prayer study. You know, there's spontaneous prayer. There's scheduled prayer. There's secret prayer. There's spontaneous prayer. There's public prayer. There's private prayer. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and then we need to get to an altar, and we need to pray. Or maybe in our closet. Or maybe in our car. Or maybe during family devotions. We've got to pray. You know, we talk about revival, and we talk about this country, and praying for our government and for our president. What about for our families? What about for our church? When are we going to come to an altar and say, I'm going to leave it with the Lord? I can't do this myself. God, you're going to have to do it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Listen, I saw something when Dr. Arnold was here. I saw a church that came forward. Does it mean you've got all the sin in your life? Brother Lynn mentioned it yesterday. Sometimes you just need to pray for your kids, your grandkids, your family members that you know that are hurting. So don't sit there and think, oh, people are judging me and think that I've got the sin. No. Maybe it's just coming, praying for our country, praying for your grandkids, praying for those that are hurting. Come to the altar and pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the instruction that we get from it. Thank you for the warnings that we get. Yes, it is a love letter, but I think in the fact that you are showing us that it is your love letter, and part of that love is showing us that we have a real adversary. And he's attacking our marriages, and he's attacking our families, and he's attacking our children and our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. And we need to make a choice. It's not going to get any better. Hey, listen, we're getting close to the end times. One of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be gone. And from the things that we see, it's going to happen sooner than later. The world's not going to get any better. And definitely sticking our heads in the sand and popping them out hoping the world's better, that's not going to happen either. Your people need to come and pray. Your people need to put on the whole armor of God. Allow the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to minister and mold our lives against the spiritual wickedness, the spiritual warfare that we are going through. Some may be going through it right now today at this moment. And they need to come to this old-fashioned altar and they say, God, I need your help. I can't do this myself. Maybe they got to come and their hearts are breaking over their children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews. They need to come to the altar and say, God, I need you to intervene. I'm tired of having a broken heart about this. Lord, I need your help. There's someone here who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray that they would not wait one more moment. They wouldn't go out those doors without realizing that we are sinners. And that sin, because of that sin, we are short of a holy and righteous and perfect God. And that's why he had to send Jesus Christ, who was man and God, and he lived a perfect life, to die on the cross for our sins. And he was raised from the dead 3 days later, just as he promised, with witnesses and witnesses and witnesses that saw his resurrection. And if you're here today, don't wait another day. Get your eternity sealed and settled today. And you can do that right now from your seat by praying this prayer. And again, it's not a prayer. It's your heart. You have to believe. Dear Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I am so sorry for my sin. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive my sin. Lord, I'm repenting. I'm turning from the sin. I'm tired of being bondage to sin. Lord, I want to be freed by your Son. I believe that Jesus was man and he was God. I believe that he died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for my sins. I believe in his resurrection, and right now I am trusting Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, could you slip up your hand so I could pray for you? I'm not going to embarrass you, I'd just like to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll challenge believers, that we would embrace the reality that there is spiritual warfare. And if we are choosing to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, we need to plan on spiritual warfare happening, maybe even daily in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would give us freedom. Those that might be in bondage of sin this morning, I pray that they would realize that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. There is freedom in his word. There is freedom in the Holy Spirit to break free from those bonds of sin. Lord, we may need to pray for someone in our family that's hurting, that's maybe in bondage to sin. And we need to come to an altar and say, God, I'm tired of carrying the burden. I'm tired of trying to handle this in my own strength. Lord, I need you to intervene. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon a time invitation. I pray that you'd be glorified by everything that is done. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand, please, with your heads bowed and the eye closed. If you need somebody that you need to come to the Lord about, come to the altar. If you can't,